Everybody else, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. So as we begin to testify and to worship and praise Him, then He'll begin to show up. Amen. I know that He's living inside of me when I get saved. I know that happens, but man, it's nice when He shows up and the sweet Holy Spirit shows up in the service. And so don't be afraid to worship Him and praise Him, or every now and again come to the altar and just thank Him for what He's done for you. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18. All the singing and things that we do and the Patch the Pirate singing and all that stuff is to glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. What we do is not for entertainment. There's some churches, there's some singing groups and things that's all they are is entertainment. They do it in the name of Christianity, but when we sing our songs and sing all those things, it's not to entertain anybody. We're trying to praise the Lord and worship Him. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. If you're there, say amen. I'm going to get back on the study on the King James Bible. And Lord willing, hopefully, maybe next week we'll get back on that. I keep saying that, but God keeps giving me things. And this message might have just been for me. And if it is, that's okay. I'm going to share it with y'all. But God gave this to me this week. And He did something special in my heart, so I'm going to share it with you today. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible tells us there that for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Brother Bowen, will you stand and pray for the message this morning? Amen. Here in verse number 5, the Bible tells us that we're lively, as lively stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. We've been reading through the book of Exodus and Leviticus, and those that are on the Bible reading, and I don't have any today. I failed to have those ready, so I will send them out to whoever this afternoon. I'm going to do that this afternoon. But as we're reading through there and reading about the priests and what all they went through and the things that they had to do, and read over here in 1 Peter chapter 2, and the Bible says that us that are saved is a holy priesthood. And the world, they've adopted the Catholic Church's definition of a priest. Whenever somebody talks about a priest, that's the first thing that goes to their mind is the Catholic Church and their definition of a priest. And their definition of a priest is an ordained minister of the Catholic or Orthodox or Anglican Church, having the authority
to perform certain rites and administer certain sacraments. And they're set up that you have to go to them. They're considered to be a go-between between God and the people. And the Pope himself, he claims to be the vicar of Christ, and he's the representation of Christ here on this earth, and they have to go to him to get to God. Whenever somebody dies or they pass away, especially in other countries, I'm not sure about here so much, but in other countries, families will go to the Catholic Church and they will try to give money to buy the repentance for those people that have died and try to get them out of purgatory so they can go to heaven. And that has swept the country, but that's the definition of a priest that people think of when they hear it. But that is not the biblical definition of what that is, what a priest is. In the Old Testament, God designed that system. He set up the priestly system, and at that time, there were sacrifices to be made, and God brought order to it. Everything that God does, there's order in it. There's supposed to be order in the church, amen? And God has a pastor and those that He appoints and goes from there, and God's always had order and things set up, and He had these priests up there to process the sacrifices that were brought, and God set that system up. But He Himself is the great high priest. And He came and died on the cross, and we're going to get into that here in a minute. But when the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that we that are saved can be a royal priest, which is what it's talking about here, it's referring to a Christian or a child of God that's saved, that has access to God. The priests in the Old Testament, they're the ones that went into God, and they're the ones that went in to talk to God and to offer the sacrifice to Him. But I'm thankful today because of the blood of Christ that I have access to God and I can go pray and talk to Him. And that's why the Bible says that we as a child of God can be a priest. And so that Christian, that child of God, because they have access to God, they can offer not physical, but spiritual sacrifices to God. We come to church and we offer our family and we offer our home and our children as spiritual sacrifices to God. There's people that over the years have brought their children before the church, and spiritually they've offered their children to God. So, Lord, thank You for giving me these children. I'm giving them back to You. And I pray You give us wisdom in raising them, and I pray that You use them for Your glory and Your honor. You know what that is? That's a spiritual sacrifice. And there's people that do that, and because the Bible says that we have that position spiritually of a priest after salvation, we can do that. Those that are saved become a part of a priestly line, a kingly rank. And we're exalted to a moral rank and freedom, which exempts us from the control of everything and of sin, and we submit ourselves to the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we become saved, you realize sin no longer has bondage over us. In the Catholic Church and other religions, that priest has control over those people. They do not want them to read their Bible. They don't want them to study their Bible. They have convinced the people that only that priest is the one that knows, and you have to get your information from him. Well, I'm here to tell you that man is fallible. Amen. I want you to bring your Bible to church. Say, why is that? Because I might read something wrong. Amen. There's a good possibility that I'll misquote something. Amen. If you're hearing, I might say something wrong, but you can say, well, that's what the Word of God says right there. Amen. I don't mind having a Bible Institute, and I wish I had the time. I wish God would allow me to have the time to be able to teach the Bible Institute and me teach all the classes or some of the other men in the church, but I still work a full-time job. I just can't do it. So I'm thankful that there's a ministry like this one that is going to teach the Bible and come. And Brother Hunter and I were talking this morning. I said, man, all the churches around need to know that we're doing this. And I agree, man. I don't care. They can come learn the Bible. There's not a corner market on learning the Bible. Everybody needs to learn the Bible, not just the preacher. But it's sad that there's some churches that their pastor would never send people to come learn the Bible because they're afraid. They're afraid that somebody might know the Bible better than them. Man, it would thrill me to death if everybody here knew the Bible better than I did. Amen. I wouldn't mind that one bit. I want some folks to fall in love with the Word of God. But you will not find that definition of a priest in any secular author or any major church religion. Is that, hey, if you're saved, you can go talk to God, Trapper. You can go to God for yourself. You can go to God for your family. You can go to God, and that's what a priest did. He went to God, amen? And he had that access. It was a high honor to be a priest of the Lord. I want to preach this morning on the privilege of being a priest. Amen? And I know the Catholic Church has completely gave a bad name to the word priest, and I understand the way they do it is wrong, but with all the sexual misconduct and things over the years, man, there's a lot of things they've butchered about the Word of God. But I'm thankful this morning that I can go to God. But I want to look at this for a few minutes this morning. Again, this is something God gave me, and if it doesn't do anything for you, then it did for me, and I just bear with me, amen. Let me enjoy it. Look over at Exodus chapter number 28. The privilege of being a priest. A royal priesthood. The day that we got saved. And I want to kind of walk through here. And the idea behind the message is that we don't fully comprehend how good it is that we can go to God. That we can have that privilege to go to Him. That we are a part of that royal priesthood because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 28. Look with me in verse number 1. The privilege of being a priest. The Old Testament, as you've read through there, if you've been reading through the Bible, you see that God separated the people, and He separated not only a people, but out of those people, He separated the Levitical priesthood, Aaron and his sons, and He made them to be the priests, and He gave them special responsibility, and they had privileges that no other person had to be a priest. They have these privileges. The first privilege they have. And as I preach through here, some might say, well, that's not a privilege. I believe it is. The first privilege they had is they got to dress different than everybody else. Thank you. Amen. Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 1. As soon as He called Aaron and his sons apart, and He was going to anoint them as priests, the very first thing He did when He separated them was deal with their clothing, was to deal with their dress. Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 1, and take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and Eleazar and Ithamar and Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. The very first thing we see a privilege of being a priest is they got to dress different than everybody else. And I'm here to tell you this morning that, especially among young people today, I say young people, but it goes for older people too. That they want to look different than everybody else. And so you'll go down the road and you'll see a purple mohawk on a little boy. Amen? Y'all help me. I'm going to preach it either way, but y'all help me if you can. But you'll see a purple mohawk on a little boy going down the road, and you'll see a girl that has got one side of her head shaved and the other side long. You'll see them with markings and piercings all over their face. And if you were to ask them, why do you do that? Because I want to stand out. I want to be different. I believe that people as a whole are very full, they're full of vanity and pride. The Bible tells us that. All is vanity, saith the preacher. And not just this one. Solomon said it too. All is vanity. And so people have a desire to be different. They have a desire to stand out. They have a desire to be seen of others. And God, when He separated the priests and He called Aaron and his sons out, the very first thing He did was deal with their dress. And the Bible tells us that He did it for His glory. And so a privilege of a priest is that they got to dress like no one else got to dress. They dressed in modest apparel, and they dressed in such a way that it gave God the glory. That's a privilege. Men, it ought to be a privilege for us to dress nice and look decent because we're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? A man should not walk around in public or be out in public without his shirt on, half naked, amen? And now these boys are wearing these shorts that go like right here. Amen. They got the little boating shoes on with no socks, and they got all this up here and wearing a little tank top. I see 70-year-old men wearing clothes like that with a little tank top, and they got a little earring in their ear. Amen. That soaring eagle he got on his arm when he was 20 is now a dying buzzard. Amen. I mean, if you tell people that you're a Christian and you tell people that you come to White Oak Independent Baptist Church, don't go out looking like a bum. Represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? That's a privilege. It is a privilege for me to be named one of the sons of God. Amen? That's a privilege. It was a privilege of the priest. Ladies, wearing modest apparel that represents God that doesn't look like a man, that's a privilege. So, well, I don't see it as a privilege. It's a headache and everybody makes fun. Oh, no, no, no. You know why they make fun of ladies that wear nothing but dresses and skirts and they wear modest apparel all the time? You know why they make fun of that? They're jealous. I believe that with all my heart. They're jealous. Because you can have a smile on your face and you can do it anyway because you're representing something higher than yourself. And you can't tell me that a modest dress and a modest skirt is more comfortable than a pair of pants that takes 10 minutes to put on in the morning. And you can read the label on your underpants when they're on. You cannot tell me that's more comfortable. Amen? I don't know, I'm not a woman, but anything restricting my body like that is miserable. Amen? Is this all right? One of the privileges of being a priest is that you get to dress like nobody else. Amen? I think it's a privilege. I think it's a privilege to be able to dress and to behave like a child of God. And people might look and they might make fun of them. They might wonder why you don't do things a certain way. And you say, hey, I'm a child of the King. I get to do this. I have the privilege of being modest. The very first thing that he dealt with was Aaron's clothing. That's the very first thing. And you know what? I've seen people get saved in church, and you don't even have to really preach on it a whole lot, and the first thing they realize is, man, I probably shouldn't look like this. What's the first thing that Adam and Eve did when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? When their eyes were opened for the first time, spiritually, the first thing they realized was, I'm naked. And they went and sewed fig leaves and covered themselves. Amen. When your spiritual eyes are open, when you first get saved, that's one of the first things that most people begin to deal with. They say, man, I don't need to dress this way. I need to dress a little bit different. And God begins to work in their heart about that. And He begins to work on some things. And man, but it seems like as a child of God grows in the Lord and they get closer to it, that all of a sudden some of those things don't matter anymore like they used to. But they should. Because it's for His glory. We dress the way we do, and we do the things that we do, and we behave like we do as a Christian. Not for me, not because I'm anybody, but because of who He is. Y'all remember the story where Jesus rode in on the donkey? Palm Sunday, y'all remember that story in the Bible? And they got that donkey, and they put a blanket on him. They placed a blanket, they clothed that donkey. Did they do that for the benefit of the donkey? They did it to keep Jesus clean. I don't know a lot about it, but y'all have horses. They say that if you ride horses bareback, no matter how clean that horse is, you're going to get dirt on you. You're going to get dirty from riding a horse. The same thing with a donkey. They put that blanket on. They covered that donkey and clothed that donkey, not to keep the donkey safe, not to keep him clean, but to keep Jesus clean. So what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? I'm just a donkey and I need to be clothed and modest to keep Jesus clean. If people see me and they see me dressed like everybody else in the world and they see me wearing the short shorts and the tank top or no shirt or whatever the case might be, then I'm not keeping Jesus clean. I do it for His glory and His honor. Amen. Is it the most comfortable thing in the middle of the summer when it's all that heat to wear a pair of pants and a shirt that's not exposing anything that the Bible considers unmodest or that the Bible considers nudity? No, sometimes it's not, but it doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's about keeping Him clean. It's about His testimony, not just mine. We were over there in Papua New Guinea. And all the Christian ladies, they all wore dresses and skirts. If they wore anything different than that, they were considered to be a harlot. Everybody just chalked it up, said, "Hey, she's a woman of the night." If they weren't wearing a dress or a skirt. And when we got to the city, it's not the same way in the city. Just like in America, the big towns, you get in there, it's not the same. They dress with however. Amen. But I got there and I was wearing a pair of pants and a regular shirt. And there was some guys there with either no shirt or tank tops and wearing these little short things. And I can't believe you're wearing that. And I said, "Well, I can't believe you're wearing that." He just looked at me. This guy's supposed to be a missionary. I don't know who he was, but that's what he told me. He was out there playing volleyball without a shirt on. His wife didn't have no clothes on out there playing. These were missionaries, not our stripe, not who we support. I don't know where they were from, but he said, "Man, I can't believe you're wearing pants and a shirt." I said, "I can't believe you're not." And he didn't talk to me the rest of the time I was there. It upset me. It upset me. I went last night to the singing over there, and there were some folks there that were dressed certain ways, and it disappointed me. So why does it disappoint you? Because of them? No, not because of them, because of who they represent. And that means something to me. Amen. Again, I told you this message was for me. If you get something out of it, I pray you do, but if not, then I'm preaching it anyway. God helped me with this. The first thing He dealt with was dress. There's a reason we do it. There's a reason that we raise our children a certain way, that we dress them a certain way. It's for His glory and His honor. It's not for me. And in return, we stand out. Every time we go somewhere, we stand out. Why? Because of who we are. No. Because there's something different. You want to be different? Dress right and live right, and you'll stick out like a sore thumb. Be submissive to your husband. Love your wife, and you'll stick out. He says right there at the end of verse number 2, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother." What does it say? Y'all reading it? Look at it. Why did he make the holy garments for Aaron and for the priest? For glory. Whose glory? For the glory of God. For glory and for beauty. Do you want to be beautiful for God? This is point number 1. I got a few more to go. I'll try to. You want to be beautiful for Him? The girls sing a song. They do a good job on it. How does it go? "You make, Lord, make me beautiful." We sing that song. All right, next time we go out in public, immodest, sing that song. "Lord, make me beautiful for Thee." Amen? No. He dealt with their dress. And I want to say this morning, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to dress right for Him. Amen. Not only that, number 2, a privilege of being a priest. Look at Exodus chapter 29, verse 1. I'll try to pick up speed as I go through here. We don't have nursing home today, though, and I don't like being held back on my time. Exodus chapter 29, verse 1. He said, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them." And you can read all through here, all through what He did to set these priests apart. "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office." You know another privilege of being a priest? We can minister to the Lord. We can bless His holy name. To think that I can minister to God. But you know what we did this morning for just a little bit? Our church allowed for just a few minutes, and God moved in, and we were ministering to the Lord. Amen. He started moving just a little bit around here. I saw God touching the hearts of some of the people here, begin to move just a little bit. You know what we were doing? We were ministering to the Lord. We have that privilege that nobody else has. If we're saved, if you're saved, you have the privilege to minister to the Lord. You say, "Me?" Yeah, you. For God to look down on you and say, "Man, I appreciate it." We have the privilege to minister to people. Other places try to do that. They got all these places that feed people and they clothe people and all those things, but they're going to be well fed and well clothed on their way to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ. But we... sacrifices in, and they had a very, 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 very important job to do everything just right to take that sacrifice in and go through. There's sacrifices for everything. There's wave offerings, there's sacrifices. Depends on what kind of sin you committed. You had to do all those things. And I thank God that Jesus' blood took care of it all today. And we don't have to bring in doves and lambs and all those things because He was the perfect spotless lamb. But back there, the priest would do that. Amen. If we lived in those times now and God allowed me to be in that bloodly line, you would have to go through that process and you'd come in and give the sacrifice and I'd have to do everything just right and take it in and put the blood where it was supposed to go. And hey, that was a privilege for a priest to be able to do that. If you're called to preach and God's put a touch on your life, that's a privilege. If you're a mother raising children for God, that's a privilege. If you're a family that's trying to live right for God, that is a privilege that other people don't have. And I'm thankful for it. Can you imagine those priests were there and maybe their family or their uncle or their aunt came and brought a sacrifice because of a sin? Or they brought a offering to God just to worship Him? The great responsibility they had to take that in there and make sure they did it right? Oh, that was a great responsibility, but it was also a privilege to be able to do that for your family. I tell you what, today it is a privilege for me to be able to serve my family. For me to be able to try to raise my children in church and in Patch the Pirate and learning the Bible and reading and do it. Hey, it's a privilege to be able to do that. I think if we looked at it a little differently, maybe we'd have a better appreciation for what we do as a Christian. For how we try to raise our children. You know another thing about a privilege of being a priest? You don't have to go there. I'm going to try to hurry up here. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 9 says, "Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance." If you go read in Deuteronomy, and we're going to get there here in a couple of weeks or so in our Bible reading, but you read there in Deuteronomy, and God is dividing up all the tribes of Israel. Dan, you're getting this. Reuben, you're getting that. Gad, you're getting that. And He's going through all the lists, and He's giving them all their inheritance. And after He divides everybody up, the Levites, the priests are standing there. Well, what are we going to get? You know what He told them? He said, "I will be your inheritance." Hey, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. The Lord will be your inheritance. You know a privilege of being a priest? They didn't get a plot of land to say, "Hey, that's yours." He said there, the Lord is His inheritance. According as the Lord thy God promised him. He said, "I will be your God and you will be my people and I will be your inheritance." Man, that sounds like a good inheritance. Amen. There's a lot of things that a person can inherit. But I tell you what, I'd rather have God than any of it. You want to know a privilege? The Lord was their inheritance. You want to know another privilege of the priest? He could go to, he had access to the Holy of Holies. A priest had access to go in once a year to the Holy of Holies and offer a sin sacrifice for the people. And I tell you what, a privilege that we have today as a child of God is I can go to the Holy of Holies and talk to God. That's a privilege that other people don't have. People try to fake it, they try to buy it, they try to do whatever they can, but only those that are saved. Priests can go to God. That's a privilege, is it not? Prayer is a privilege. Another privilege that a priest had is they had a sanctified life. What does that mean? That means they were set apart from everybody else. They were set apart from everybody else. They were only allowed to marry certain people. They were only allowed to participate in certain activities. There's just some things they were not allowed to do that God allowed other people to do. But the priests were not allowed to do it. I can imagine the children of some of those priests that were in that priestly line might look out and see the boys doing something. Say, "Daddy, can I go out there and do that with them?" No, son, you cannot. Well, Daddy, why can I not go do that? Oh, because we're a special people. Because we're a sanctified people. We're set apart. And we cannot participate in that. But Dad, it looks like God's okay with them doing that. Well, that's between them and God, but we can't. We can't do that. There were things that God let the children of Israel do that He looked at the Levites and said, you can't do that. There were certain people they were allowed to marry. God said, yep, you can marry this one, marry that one. But when it came to the priest, He said, no, there's special instructions here. And as a child of God, there are certain things that we just shouldn't do. Well, everybody else is doing it. Oh, that don't matter. We're set apart for Him. Amen. There's certain activities and things that other people say, well, all the other churches are doing. Well, that's fine. They can do that, but my God, amen, doesn't want me doing that. I'm set apart, sanctified. Getting back to living what the Bible tells us to do. You know, another thing too, another privilege of being a priest, God fed them. They didn't have to worry about what they were going to eat. Every day, people were bringing them food. You say, well, those are sacrifices. Yeah, but go read them. God said, here's what I want you to do. Take the sacrifice. I mean, they were bringing oil and flour, and they were having fried bird. He told them to put fried in a frying pan. Y'all remember reading it? Man, when you're reading your Bible, pay attention to the stories. Even when they're going through all the names, so-and-so, just in your mind, imagine this taking place, and it's a whole new world. You're sitting here imagining, I'm imagining the priest coming in, and somebody comes in with the birds, amen, with the doves or whatever, and they come in, they said, oh, man, that's going to be a good fried chicken right there. Woo! God has provided the meal today, because that priest knew, I got to cut the head off. I got to put the blood there. I got to sprinkle blood here. I got to wave this to him. And then he tells me to mix it with oil and with flour and put it in the frying pan. And then the priests get to eat it. Woo! Amen. God fed them. They didn't have to go out looking for food. People brought it to them every day. Whoa! Amen. Here comes a lamb. We get some lamb chops. And God told him to bring two of this and three of that and four of this one and two of that. And why? God wanted some. And he said, well, that one's for you. What a privilege. Does God not provide our needs? Does God not take care of us? That's a privilege of being a priest. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for it. Amen. I've had my fair share of birds. People say, man, you're fat. I said, no, this is a chicken graveyard. Is it not a privilege to be a priest? There's so much more. Man, I probably needed to make this a series. Who knows? There's so much more. Those are just a few. But let me tell you this morning that there was very, very strict requirements to be a priest. Very strict requirements. Go to Leviticus chapter 8. One of the requirements is you had to be in that bloodline. Aaron and his sons and their sons and their sons, if you were to be a priest, you had to be in the Levitical bloodline. You had to do that to be a priest. They were not to take a priest from outside of that. You had to be in the bloodline. Not only did you have to be in the bloodline, there was multiple requirements when it came to marriage and their behavior and things that they had to do to be a priest, and they had to be anointed as priests. They were given very detailed instructions on how to be anointed as a priest. Leviticus chapter 8, look at verse number 22. If you're there, say amen. So he deals with, again, you go back to chapter 8, verse 1, he's dealing with their clothing, their garments. He anoints the tabernacle, the sin offering, the burnt offering, the ram of consecration he's dealing with here now. Verse number 22, and he brought the other ram. Again, there's more than one. The ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it. And pay attention to this. We're going to go back to something similar. And Moses took the blood of it and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot. God told him to do it in this order. Back in Exodus chapter 29, I believe it is, he told him to do this. And he brought Aaron and his sons to verse 24. And Moses put of the blood upon the tip of the right ear and upon the thumb of their right hands, upon the great toe of their right foot. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Look at verse number 30. Verse number 30. And Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon his son's garment with him and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his son's garments with him. And back in Exodus, we're told that, Moses took this oil, and after he put it on his ear and his right toe and his big toe, and after he sprinkled it on him, he poured it on his head, and that oil ran down his beard. Say, what was that? That was him being anointed for that position as priest. And all the priests that were to follow were to be anointed. They had to fall in line with this anointing. So I got to thinking about it as I was reading this. Brother Bowen, 1 Peter chapter 2 tells me that if I'm saved, I'm a priest. If you're saved, you say, well, you don't realize how bad I am. If you're saved, the Bible says that you're a priest. But how is that possible for me to be a priest when I was not born in that bloodline? Amen. I thank God for my dad. And for my granddad and my family, but as far as I know, we're not in the Levitical priesthood line of people. Amen? I don't know where they came from. McAfee, somewhere in Scotland, somewhere probably. Who knows? We're not in the Levitical priesthood line, though. But yet the Bible says that if I'm saved, I'm a priest. How is that possible? Because of my sin in my life, that disqualifies me from being a priest. I am not qualified to be a priest, according to the Bible back here in the Levitical priesthood. Y'all following me? I'm not qualified to be a priest. I'm not qualified to be there because I'm not of that priestly family. I'm not a part of the Levitical tribe. I was a sinner. Amen. There's things that hindered me from being a priest. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 14. You know in the Bible that leprosy is a picture, a type of sin. Leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy is a type of sin in many ways. It's a whole nother message. It's very contagious. Sin is contagious. It spreads quickly. Sin spreads quickly. You think that you got a little sin? And it's just a baby sin. It's something that's small. That thing will grow and it'll take over before you know it. Next thing you know, you're covered in it. And so he tells these people, if they were a leper, there's no way they could be a priest. They're unclean. When I came back from Papua New Guinea, I've been living in that jungle and came back and had some problem with my feet. And my wife said, you're unclean. You got to stay outside the house for 7 days. And then we will inspect it and see if it's, you know, that's what they had to do. They had to go outside the house they had to go without the camp for 7 days. And then on the eighth day, they'd come before the priest and the priest would look at them and say, yep, you still got it, back out there. They would take their clothes and burn them. They would burn the things in their house. Leprosy was an awful thing. Sin is an awful thing. Because of sin, we were disqualified, these lepers. But as I begin to read this thing about the lepers, on the eighth day of cleansing, the first day there's things that they would do. You can go back and read that in the first part of the chapter. On the seventh day, there's things they would have to do. They have to shave their head, shave their beard, shave their eyebrows. They'd have to wash and clean themselves. And on the eighth day, they'd come before the priest. And on that eighth day, they would present themselves. And if they were found clean, watch what the priest begins to do. Remember, it is a very, very, very special thing to be anointed a priest. Would you agree with me? They go through all these things. Nobody else gets to go through the ceremony of being anointed as priest. Nobody else gets to do that. Except for a leper that's been clean. All these other people that committed sin, all these other people that have things in their life, whenever they would get right with God, they would offer a sacrifice, they do some things, but nobody else got anointed like the priest did, except for a leper that was made clean. I don't know if you know where I'm going, but I do. Look at Leviticus chapter 14, verse 14. The laws for cleansing a leper. Look at verse 14. Tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. In verse 17, and the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the right thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hands, he shall pour it upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterwards he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. Look at verse 25. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. You say, Brother Andrew, that's the same exact story. What's the difference? The difference is, look at verse 21. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, talking about the offering that he brings, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved to make an atonement for him, and one tenth deal of the fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? It didn't matter if they were poor. It didn't matter if they were rich. It didn't matter what their standing in society was. If they were a leper, they were a sinner. But it didn't matter if they were poor or if they were rich. They could get the same anointing. They could get the same exact sanctification given to them, and the very same thing the priest had to do to be anointed a priest, the leper got to go through that same thing. It didn't matter if they had money. It didn't matter if they were poor. It didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter how great they were. It didn't matter how small they were. It mattered not what their standing was in society. They got the same treatment. Nobody else got to have that done. I can imagine this morning in my imagination, maybe some young men or young ladies that are watching these priests go through the process of being anointed. And it's a very tedious process. And seeing the sacrifice and seeing a Moses taking that blood and going upon the right ear of that priest and putting it on his ear. This man has been born into that bloodline. He's a part of the Levitical priesthood. He's now becoming a priest. And what a privilege it was to be a priest. Nobody else got to do that. And watching it. And I can imagine these people watching the process. Puts it on his right ear and puts it on his right thumb. And leave your shoes on. We don't want to smell up the church. And put it on his right big toe. And I can imagine them watching saying, man, I wish we could do that. I wish we could be a part of that. But we just weren't born right. We just weren't born right. We weren't born in the right bloodline. We're a sinner. And I can imagine one day one of them young men begins to see a sore on it. You can sit down, see a sore on his arm. And he knew that was bad. And he goes before the priest and says, hey, something's wrong. He goes, son, we're going to have to put you out of the camp. I think you got leprosy. And they put him outside the camp, and several days later he comes back and it's beginning to spread on his body. He says, you've got leprosy. Because of this disease you have, you're probably going to die. And you're going to die in your leprosy. That's how you're going to die. You're going to die in this state. This state of leprosy that you're in. And he brings a sacrifice and he goes through the first day of cleansing. And he puts him outside the camp, and 7 days later he shaves his head and he shaves his eyebrows and he shaves his entire body and he cleans himself and washes and comes back before the priest. And the priest said, you've been cleansed. And now that same young man that watched the priests saying, man, I wonder one day if, man, it'd be nice for that to happen, but I wasn't born right. I wasn't born in the right bloodline. Hey, I was a sinner. And then all of a sudden that same young man is standing there and the priest takes the blood and puts it on his right ear and puts it on his great thumb and puts it on his toe. And then he takes that oil and he watched that oil as a young man. He watched it run down the face and the beard of the priest. And now that oil is being placed on his head. And he's going through the same thing that the priest went through for the cleansing of being a sinner. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I want to tell you this morning that I was not born right. I'm not talking about my mom and dad and the Bible says that our days are short and full of trouble. In iniquity we were conceived. Amen. We're born a sinner. We're born trouble. The Bible says we come from the womb speaking lies. We're born a sinner. We're not a part of the Levitical priesthood. The Bible says before we got saved, we were a child of the devil. The devil is our father, and the wrath of God abided upon us. There was nothing good about me to become a priest. There was nothing good about me that I could be named as a child of God. Nothing at all. Until one day, at 9 years old, I came down to the altar in Dayton, Ohio. And God took the blood and He applied it and He washed me white as snow with His blood. And the Bible tells us that that blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary, the Holy Spirit of God, Trapper, took that blood and went up to the mercy seat. And just like in the Old Testament, when that blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat, He took it up there and He sprinkled it on there for me. Some of y'all were saved later in life. Some were saved when they were younger. But the fact is we all needed salvation. And He finally, for the first time in our lives, went in and He placed that blood. Hey, His precious blood is what washed us whiter than snow. That leprosy of sin that we had, that sin disease that we had, He washed it with His blood. Look there in verse number 18 of chapter 1. How could we be called a priest? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. For the first time in our lives, when we got saved, He made us clean. And He took the blood and He sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And He took the blood and He applied it to our heart. And for the first time, He looked at God and said, He is clean. And now, I can stand before you and read 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Where God says that we're a priest. And that, Trapper, we can go directly to Him. That's a privilege no one else has but other than those that are saved. The people of this world, they want peace, they want joy, they want all those things, but they're getting it from all the wrong places. I have all those in Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Y'all still with me? I'm almost done. I'm finishing right now. Sarah, come to the piano, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye, who's ye? Those that are saved. Ye are a chosen generation. A royal, what? Priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Peculiar? Do you mean like set apart? Do you mean like dresses different than everybody else? Do you mean like lives different than everybody else? And he's not saying it like it's a bad thing. He's saying, hey, you're a royal priesthood. Man, what a privilege to be a peculiar people, to be set apart, to live for Him. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. What a privilege it is to be saved. A royal priesthood of peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hey, we're saved, and we have a privilege of being a Christian and representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't have to go to the Pope this morning to talk to God. I can talk to Him. Thank God. What a privilege it is. Let's all stand every head, about every head close. Sarah's going to play. There might be someone here this morning, you just need to come and thank God. There might be some here this morning that you have not realized the privilege that we have of being a Christian. Maybe there's some things in our heart and in our life that have not been pleasing to God. Maybe there's some things in our dress and in our music and in our home. You say, that's not very priestly. That's not very honoring to God. Why don't you come this morning and talk to Him about it? Talk about a spiritual sacrifice. Those people came and they laid a sacrifice on an altar. We have an altar here today, and it is a spiritual picture of that altar of the Old Testament. And when we come and humble ourselves before God and we lay ourselves on the altar, we lay whatever it is that's on our heart on the altar, and we give it to God and we ask Him to bless it. We ask Him if He's pleased with our sacrifice, with our offering to Him. So if God spoke to your heart this morning, would you come do business with Him? There's some that have already come. Maybe there's somebody here today, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You don't have any of those privileges. Would you come this morning, let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. What about it this morning? God spoke to your heart? Maybe you need to come and just thank Him this morning. I don't know. It kind of blew through here a little bit this morning during the singing. What a privilege. The title of the message was the privilege of being a priest. Privilege of being a priest.